so nice to have you here at WMUK in the performance studio with all of your music and instruments ready to play. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kara.
Thanks.
Brian, let's start with you. You are a folk musician from Minnesota who took on a project that is now two wonderful albums along. Would you describe your work on this and the inspiration that you found for it?
Yeah, so I play Irish music, and so does Randy. Both of us fell in love with the music traditions of Ireland when we were teenagers and have been doing that for a long time. But the music that we play together and the music that I've been feeling really passionate about for the last few years is, it has Irish roots, but it's music from the Great Lakes region and music from the Upper Midwest. Somebody told me, a few different people had made hints to me over the years that there was some Irish-influenced music that went on in lumber camps, and I got very serious about figuring out what that was all about 5 years ago, and started digging around in old collections and doing a lot of reading and listening to field recordings. And I've found it, at least to me, it seems to be very true. The Irish had a huge influence on the music that men played to entertain themselves in lumber camp bunkhouses. And we're talking about way back in the 1800s. So a long time ago, it was when lumbering was done by hand. Trees were sawed down by hand, and they used axes. They used horses or oxen to drag the logs out of the woods and stack them up by the river and then drive them down to the sawmill using the river. So it was a time when a lot of things were done by hand and when a lot of entertainment was done, do-it-yourself entertainment. The 1800s were a really rich time for traditional singing in Ireland, too. And they were also a really hard time in Ireland because of the potato famine in the middle of the century. So all these Irishmen that had a really rich tradition of singing and instrumental music came over during the mid-1800s, and many of them landed in cities, and a lot of people know about that. But what I have found, and what Randy and I have been exploring, really has to do with the stories of Irishmen who ended up in rural the United States and brought their music into lumber camp bunkhouses, which ended up being a wonderful sort of nurturing environment for those old songs to keep going and be reinvented and put to new uses.
Well, one of the songs on the new project is called Jails of Buffalo. And in the notes you provided, it appears that there's a wonderful character behind this song that none other than Alan Lomax met and recorded in 1938.
Correct. Alan Lomax made a folk song collecting trip to Michigan in 1938, and one of the really amazingly rich areas that he mined for old songs was Beaver Island. And Beaver Island, if you're looking for Irish influence in traditional singing and fiddle playing of the Upper Midwest, Beaver Island's your go-to spot. I mean, it was absolutely strong Irish population there, mostly from County Donegal, mostly from the northern part of County Donegal. And this singer, Johnny Green, his dad was from Donegal and was one of the first Irish settlers on the island. And he had an amazing store of songs, Johnny Green. And I don't know if there were any other singers that Lomax got more songs from than Johnny Green. He got really quite a few. So that's where we found this one, The Jails of Buffalo.
Well, why don't we take a moment and give it a listen, and you'll play it for us.
Yeah, we're excited to play it.
It was on the 5th of April when I lay in my bed, thinking on the sorrows that crowned my aching head. Surrounded I was by officers cruel, and with them forced to go to serve a long and dreary trip in the jails of Buffalo. Oh, there's such a bunch of devils there you never saw before. There's robbers, thieves, and highwaymen, and crooks from every shore. They sing a song the whole night long, and curse and spit also. It serves for entertainment in the jails of Buffalo. When I am done and pardoned, and once more I am free, I'll go down to Sandusky, my true love for to see. Perhaps me boy she'll give me the bounce when she does come to know. I led a gang of smugglers to the jails of Buffalo. Oh, my girl, she came from Patterson, the truth to you I'll tell. She was an only daughter, and her parents loved her well. They brought her up in fear of the Lord, this little did they know. She married to a smuggler who served time in Buffalo. Come, all you boys that sail the lakes, do not a smuggling go. You rue the day they put you away in the jails of Buffalo.
Wow, that's the Jails of Buffalo. And here in the Yoshimi Takeda Performance Studio are guitarist and singer Brian Miller and mandolin player Randy Gosa, who also added in some harmonies on the Jails of Buffalo, a song collected by Alan Lomax in 1938 on Beaver Island from singer Johnny Green. Brian and Randy have recorded this on their album, The Falling of the Pine. Well, that was a beautiful arrangement, and I love the way you set the tune. My question is, what did you hear on that Alan Lomax tape, and how did you proceed from that melody to this beautiful two-part arrangement you created?
Good question. The first point is that it's so wonderful that there is a recording. A lot of the music that Randy and I have arranged, we were working from, you know, sheet music in a book or some sort of a song collection or another. In the case of Jails of Buffalo, we did have this wonderful recording made by Alan Lomax of Johnny Green. And Johnny Green's a great singer, so it was inspiring just to hear the way he did it and the way he used the melody. So basically our process is I fall in love with the song, and usually I sit down with it first and try to play it or try to see if it works with accompaniment. So I think that's probably the first step with this one. But I know this song in particular, The Jails of Buffalo, we spent a lot of time working on it together. And
in a pop-up camper.
In a pop-up, yeah. I remember the exact place we worked on it. We had a wonderful year, 2012. We ended up with a lot of performances around the state of Minnesota, where I live, that were funded through the Minnesota Historical Society and various library groups. So we had this wonderful week where we borrowed my parents' pop-up camper, and we were up kind of in outstate Minnesota in the woods. It was a perfect place to be working on this music. And I remember working on this song all week in between roasting marshmallows.
Whether you wanted to or not, Randy.
Yeah.
It sounds like you were captive.
It was willing.
It was willing. Yeah, we had a great time.
Do you share some influences that you bring to these arrangements?
We do, yeah. I'd say we often run the possibilities of what a song arrangement could be through a similar set of filters and influences.
Yeah, we as much as the project is about me digging up old songs and convincing Randy that we should play them, it's also about us sharing our favorite influences for traditional song arrangement. Both of us are big fans of some of the real greats of Irish song arrangement, like Paul Brady and Andy Irvin, and the band Dervish, Mick Hanley. We're also big fans of a lot of English traditional song arrangers, Nick Jones and Martin Carthy being maybe the two biggest ones. So we're often sending each other YouTube links or recordings that we get a hold of any of those guys. And so when we get a song like that, Jails of Buffalo, like Randy's guitar part on that, for instance, he's doing a little bit of a Nick Jones inspired move with his finger picking. So to some extent, right? I mean, yeah. a lot of the finger picking stuff we do, we listen to those recordings and get fired up. And
we try to use some of the tunings that some of those guys were using too in the 60s, 70s, some of that progressive alternate tuning stuff, which is fun to play around with. Sometimes too many tunings to keep track of on stage.
Right, where you put your finger down and not sure what pitch is going to come down. Well, you and I have talked about this a little bit before, Brian, where I really like seeing the place names and the specific logging vocabulary that fills these songs. You learn about squaring the pine and Jails of Buffalo. I mean, that's a very real image, you can imagine.
Yeah.
And this next song has a lot of that going for it, too.
Yeah, the banks of the Little Eau Plaine. So the Little Eau Plaine is a river that's still there. If you visit to Wausau, Wisconsin, and it's a small river, and it flows into the Wisconsin River, which is a lot larger. And the Wisconsin River was big enough that they would form the logs into these big rafts to go down the Wisconsin River. And on bigger rivers, that was common. And they would steer the rafts. They were very large. And they would steer them with like entire tree trunks turned into basically rudders. So the song is about a raftsman. And that's what it's talking about, a guy that would go out on these rafts. And it mentions Little Eau Plaine. It mentions the Wisconsin River. It mentions the Wisconsin Dells, which a lot of people, at least in our part of the world, know these days as a haven for water parks and family vacationing and silly tourist traps. But in the logging years, the Wisconsin River, the way I understand it, the Dells are a really dangerous area of the river. There are a lot of rapids and places for logs to get hung up. Now, if they were going down on a raft, it could be really dangerous. The raft could get broken up going over the rapids. And the song is about a tragedy, a drowning. So that's what happened. And we actually know who wrote it. It was written by an Irish-American named Billy Allen that lived in Wausau and wrote a number of songs. It's pretty cool, actually. Another song collector that kind of came before Alan Lomax, a guy named Franz Rickaby, tracked down Billy Allen and interviewed him about the process of his process of writing songs. And he specifically said that he'd start with an old Irish melody and often an old Irish text and rewrite it. So he probably, or I'd say he definitely started with an old Irish song, probably about a drowning at sea, and rewrote it to be about this drowning in the Wisconsin River.
He's like, I'm not going to mess with something that's already good. I'll just improve it with some.
Well, that was the traditional way, you know. There was not, you know, in those days, there was nothing wrong with that approach to quote-unquote songwriting. You know, you'd start, you know, if you listen to Bob Dylan or Led Zeppelin or a lot of even more contemporary songwriters, it's a process that works. You go back to an older melody, maybe you change something about it. You know, you use some older modes of poetry, but kind of make them your own and update them to be about things that you relate to in your life. And that's really what Billy Allen was doing way back in the 1870s in Wausau. And it's cool.
Well, you're listening to Brian Miller and Randy Gosa here in the Yoshimi Takeda Performance Studio at WMUK. Let's listen to The Banks of the Little Old Plain.
One evening last June as I rambled the green woods and valleys among, mosquitoes were buzzing harmonious in tune with the whippoorwill's song. Frogs in the marshes were croaking, tree toads were whistling for rain, and the partridges round me were drumming on the banks of the little old plain. It was then I beheld a young maiden. She was roaming alone on the shore, mourning all for her young raftsman, saying, I fear I will see him no more. He went off on a fleet with Ross Campbell, and he left me in sorrow and pain. It's over 2 months since he started from the banks of the little old plain. Well, his pants were made out of 2 meal sacks, a patch a foot square on each knee. His shoes and his jacket were dyed with the bark of a butternut tree. Oh, he wore a large open-faced ticker with almost a yard of steel chain. When he went away with Ross Campbell from the banks of the little old plain. He was tall and broad-shouldered and manly. His height was about 6'1". And his hair was inclined to be sandy, his whiskers as red as the sun. Oh, his name it was Honest John Murphy, on it there ne'er was a stain. But he loved the bold Wisconsin River, that's the reason he left the old plain. John Murphy's the name of your raftsman. I used to know him very well. Sad is the tale I must tell you. Oh, your Johnny got drowned in the dells. They buried him neath the scrub in Norway. You'll never behold him again. No stone marks the spot where your Johnny sleeps far from the little old plain. My curse says attend you, Wisconsin. May your rapids and falls cease to roar. May every towhead and sandbar be as dry as a log schoolhouse floor. May the willows on all of your highlands lie down like a field of ripe grain. For taking my only love, Johnny, from the banks of the little old plain.
Beautiful gentlemen. That was Brian Miller and Randy Gosa with The Banks of the Little Old Plain. They're here in the Takeda Performance Studio at WMUK. You can find out more about their album, The Falling of the Pine, at the website evergreentrad.com. Now, Brian, I understand that this project, the researching and recording of songs from 100, 150 years ago of the North Woods, has generated some interest from historical societies, and you've received grants from some organizations. You're really getting some acknowledgement as a musicologist here.
Yeah, it's always scary a little bit when you embark on a new project, especially something like this that, to me and to Randy, I think both of us, we feel like it's a little bit something that hasn't been done. I mean, there are certainly people that have sung these logging songs and done a very good job of it, and certainly people that have done a lot of research on them. But coming at it from an Irish angle and sort of exploring the Irishness, I guess, from a musical standpoint, of the melodies and of the approach to presenting them, I feel like is sort of a new thing. And it's definitely kind of new and unknown within the Irish music world. And it's also sort of, I think, for some of the folklore people that maybe think of these songs more just from an occupational angle, they wouldn't maybe necessarily think of the Irish influence. But we've had a great response from both those communities, both from the Irish music community. For them, it's a sort of a branch of the Irish tradition that not a lot of people knew about. And then from the more serious folklore community, we've had a great response from them too. We've had wonderful support from Jim Leary, who chairs the folklore department at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's been just a huge champion of us and our work, and pushing me along all the time to do new things. He's encouraging me to do more writing about the research that I've been doing. His sister, actually, Sheila Leary, is involved with the University of Wisconsin Press, and they've also been really encouraging to us. The Minnesota Historical Society, like I mentioned earlier, has funded us for doing performances around the state, as has the Minnesota State Arts Board. So we've had a lot of great response, and like I said, it is sort of like, I feel like we're kind of in between two communities, and it's sometimes nerve-wracking trying to figure out where we fit in. And you know, sometimes we're too lumberjack for the Irish people, and sometimes we're too Irish for the people that want us to be dressing up like Paul Bunyan. But we're really kind of making it our mission to carve out some territory there in the in-between zone, and bring this music, especially like bring this music back to the places where it was sung, because you can't argue with that. You know, it was recorded in these, it was collected in these places, sung in these places. You know, bringing it back there and singing it again feels great. And we always get a great response when we do that, when we come back to the communities where the songs come from. Just really heartfelt response from people that enjoy it and have family stories. And it's wonderful.
You have two albums, The Falling of the Pine and before that, Minnesota Lumberjack Songs. How many more songs are out there?
So many, many, many. And that's exciting for us. We're not stopping now. We have plans to do another recording. There are so many songs out there. And as some of these collections become more accessible, the reason we're in Michigan right now is we're helping to promote the release of a bunch of field recordings made by Alan Lomax in Michigan. I mentioned earlier his trip to Michigan. So once those are accessible, we're going to have new resources to draw on. There are other recordings hiding in archives here and there. There's a big project in upstate New York that I'm in touch with some of the people there. They're planning on releasing some recordings made by a woman named Marjorie Lansing Porter. And a lot of those are lumberjack songs. So there's a lot out there, you know, and we're always having our ears open for new things. But
well, I have a feeling a lot of our listeners have families with backgrounds in the lumber trade and might know of a grandparent or a great-grandparent who was definitely part of this. And could they find some things at your website to follow up with?
Certainly, yeah. I'm really doing lots of research all the time on this, and so I maintain a monthly blog on our website, evergreentrad.com. The blog is called Northwood Songs, and there's a comment form there if anyone found anything they wanted to engage in conversation about, or our email address is available on the website too. And I love to hear from people that have family stories. And it's been really great. One of my favorite things about the project is getting those family stories back. I'll get letters in the mail. I'll get emails. People send me little family heirloom books. We just met a guy at a concert a couple weekends ago who says he has a handwritten song collection that him and his wife wrote down from an old-timer because the guy, they were hauling wood with him and he started singing songs and they didn't know what he was doing, and they got out a notebook and scribbled down all the words. So I'm really hoping that that shows up in my mailbox one of these days. But I'd love to hear anything from anyone that has stories.
Well, we've asked a lot of you this hour, but can you give us another song?
Certainly. We'll do a song called How We Got Up to the Woods Last Year. And I should say our source from this song was a recording made in Ontario, but it was also collected in Michigan by a guy named Earl Clifton Beck. And if people are interested, there are at least two books out there that Beck published. One of them is called They Knew Paul Bunyan, and it's a collection of songs and folktales from Michigan lumberjacks. But he found this song getting sung in Michigan, even though all the place names in it are actually in Ontario. But of course, there was a lot of back and forth. The border wasn't quite as staffed with border guards in those years. And even though this song mentions place names in the Ottawa Valley, it's quite likely that, you know, singers carried it over the border into Michigan and back and forth. But it's a fun song. It's about the fall when the companies would send out an agent, what they call a man catcher, to round up a crew. And often they would find a lot of prospective lumberjacks in saloons. So in the song, the way the song goes, they're stopping in these little towns along the Ottawa Valley, and it seems like they stop in a saloon each time and maybe scrape a few more lumberjacks off the floor and then continue on down the way. And the chorus even kind of accents the point. It's rantin', roarin', drunk on the way. So.
All right, let's hear it.
Come all you boys who wish to hear how we got up to the woods last year. To the place you all well know, the frozen hole called Opian Go. To me rantin', ah, it's father diddle da, rantin', roarin', drunk on the way. On the 15th of September last, God be with those days that passed. From Arne Prior we all set out, with John Pratt to show us the route. To me rantin', ah, sing for the diddle ah, rantin', roarin', drunk on the way. Now we rode until we reached Renfrew, it's there we met with the rest of the crew. Seven jolly boys, both young and stout, the pick of the town, there is no doubt. To me rantin', ah, sing for the diddle ah, rantin', roarin', drunk on the way. May contend that we felt big, we were in a silver-mounted ring. For Dacre Town we'd hoisted our sails, they all thought we were the Prince of Wales. To me rantin' ah, father diddle ah, rantin', roarin', drunk on the way. Mills comes up to welcome us in, and he handed down the wine and gin. The landlord's treat went merrily round, we drank a health to Dacre Town. To me rantin' ah, it's father diddle ah, rantin', roarin', drunk on the way. Into that buggy we jerked our boots, you can bet our teamster fed long oats. And to the camp we drove along, we all joined up in a sing-song. To me rantin' ah, sing father diddle ah, rantin', roarin', drunk on the way. Rantin' ah, father diddle ah, rantin', roarin', drunk on the way.
Well, that was Brian Miller and Randy Gosa with How We Got Up to the Woods Last Year. It's on their recording, The Falling of the Pine, which is available at evergreentrad.com. Guys, it's been a splendid session with you. I wish you could stay longer, but we will have you back in Michigan soon, I hope.
Thanks, Kara.
Thank you.